from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Chicago sports mysteries of our generation.
We got to put together like a TV series, Chicago sports mystery. Here's what happened to the hockey puck.
That would be fun. We could probably come up with a good five or six show arc. We should do that. Like Netflix might be interested. Maybe the new network would be interested. Mm-hmm. Chicago sports mysteries. Dun, dun,
dun. In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
How did the White Sox ever employ Pedro Grifol? History of the ages.
You know, that's a question. That question is for each individual fan.
I wouldn't watch that. I wouldn't watch that.
Who smashed Sammy Sosa's boombox?
I would watch that.
This is not a question that I expected from you.
Whatever happened to Caleb Haney?
I have faith in Caleb Haney.
Episode 4, The Alan Williams Project. I want to know whatever happened to Sam Hurd.
No comment on that.
There we are. There's 5.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Have you been contacted yet? That is high concept stuff, Mr. David.
Good morning, Molly. Happy Friday.
We should be hearing from the major network soon.
I think we will be.
Yeah.
It's a novel idea that you came up with.
It was the gunplay at the Sox game.
And the lawsuit that followed.
Yes.
We want to follow that story to its bitter end.
Exactly.
And I think there are other mysteries worth exploring.
We need to know.
Well done there.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Well played.
Well played. I think that there are all kinds of mysteries still.
Oh, there's plenty.
Waiting exploration.
Yes.
Waiting to be solved. I'm not sure the one about the White Sox and the magic bullet's going to be solved.
Well, I don't think it can be.
No.
I think that's why it's a mystery.
There's a grassy knoll involved.
There is.
There's certainly a conspiracy alleged.
Oh, there's a lot of conspiracies. A
lot of stuff going on.
Was it inside, outside, upside down?
Here's the one thing I'm willing to say. As far as that goes,
yep.
If that were to happen, or say that were to, there would be a bullet laying around Guaranteed Rate Field yesterday, they would have found it. They would have found it.
Yeah, there's been no one there to step on
really
it.
Really hard place to hide.
Yeah, you could sweep the place out.
Boy, that's another really, the optics are just so bad right now. I don't know how
those aren't the results.
The results are.
That was to lose 2-1. They've been in these games, David.
They've
I know no one wants to hear it.
Nick Nastrini comes up from AAA Charlotte, pitches his heart out, and was very good, deserved a victory, and the White Sox can't manufacture any runs. They get swept again for the 21st time. That's bad. And then nobody really showing up. It's
no
just
bullet found.
the lack of attendance there.
Yeah, I know.
Is glaring, and I think when you look back just a couple weeks ago, the Cubs series followed by the Yankees presence, there were people in the stands. Alas,
I cannot
change.
It has gone through my mind to go out and to enjoy a game, and by that I just mean enjoy the ballpark and enjoy the kind of end of summer aspect of it and the roomy the roominess of the building.
It's an opportunity for people who haven't gone to go. You could go online and get very affordable tickets. You would spend more on coffee in the morning than you would on a White Sox ticket right now.
And I did that when the kids were young. We went and spent a nice summer day there, and we literally moved around the park and sat in every
You could do that.
And at one point, we sat as high up as you can sit just to get the view of it. And we're all like, oh, I need a Sherpa to get to the seat. And the next thing you know, we were on the screen together because we're all wearing Sox gear. And it was hilarious.
Hey, is that Mully? Yeah, put a camera in his face.
Oh, I don't think they knew who I was. But we had like,
well, your kids are cute.
The kids were very cute.
Your kids are cute. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. And my wife, God bless her, she did a great job. Even though she's from Detroit, she wore Sox gear. And
Sunday's the day.
We looked like real happy family.
You're still really happy family.
Pictures are different.
Yes.
I love my crew.
So Sunday, Garrett Crochet scheduled to pitch again. Check the weather first. Please check the weather before you go.
I think, I'm not sure, they might limit him to two pitches in this game.
Might be. That'd be slicing his workload in half. Sean Manaea, local guy.
Yeah.
Going against Garrett Crochet, two big lefties on the mound. That would be worth watching.
Especially, you know, here's the thing. We are in a countdown to the beginning of the NFL season. The college football season kind of began last night.
It did. We'll get to that.
We'll get into
it. It did because of something that happened.
Right. But the NFL is start. I mean, we are sitting here, and it is the 30th of August. And next week, we go Thursday, Friday, the Bears on Sunday. I mean, it is the beginning. If you're not feeling the passion and the intensity of this upcoming football season, you're not a football fan.
And this is a football city.
Oh, my God.
So we are awaiting this anxiously. The last weekend we have to do without the NFL for a very long time.
For a very long time.
And this season threatens to last longer in Chicago than it has in recent years.
Look at Mr. David. Look at
It's going into January. We're not playing just 17 games here. We're not just watching 17. There could be an 18th, maybe 19th.
Get on the bandwagon.
I don't know.
Get on.
But you want to start now. And it starts next Thursday. I'm telling you that because I want you to be prepared when we come in here, probably Thursday morning, and we make our predictions.
Yeah. Okay. I already have a good start.
No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I've got to make a couple phone calls. I'm not going to lie.
We go every division, and we go in playoff teams, and we're going Super Bowl.
I'm all over it. You know I love this time of year.
I know.
And I know you are shot out of a cannon.
Definitely. I love college football's debut last night. I mean, I know last week was ground zero or week zero with Florida State and Georgia Tech.
Zero.
Sorry.
The end of college football.
No, I mean, last night was more exciting. Last night, I feel like we got a glimpse of the best player in college football this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that...
Was that a quarterback or a wide receiver?
It was a wide receiver.
Oh, interesting.
And a defensive back.
Ooh.
And I think that when you look at...
We got to give out a Heisman.
I know. Travis Hunter is as good of a player as there is in the college football this year.
A shotgun snap taken by Shadur. Throws it right side. Travis Hunter reaches up. Makes a spectacular grab. Touchdown. Touchdown, Colorado. He's an alien. He's a freak. He's a mutant. Best player in college football.
I agree with Big Voice Guy.
Yeah, he's a mutant.
I don't know if I agree he's a
thank
mutant.
Thank you, sir. How kind of you.
That seems kind of insulting.
You freak. Oh, mercy.
Yeah, I don't think I would go that far. But I just wanted to pay the kid a compliment. He plays
didn't go far enough.
He plays with energy on both sides of the ball, and he is likely to be drafted as a cornerback high, but he can play wide receiver, as you saw the touchdown catch that was remarkable. And I just feel like after one game, I'm ready to say he's the best player in college football.
Well, you tell that alien that you appreciate his skill set.
Nanu.
Listen, mutant.
Why would he go that far?
I mean, he really kind of got over his skis.
That was a little bit much.
He's a freak. He's a mutant. Best player in college football.
I'm sure that Deion Sanders is not pleased.
Because he wants his son to be?
No, you can't talk about his players that way.
Oh, yeah.
He's very protective, Deion.
He refuses to answer any questions from big voice guy.
He was going at it yesterday.
Is he a freak?
Even after they won and they held off North Dakota State, which definitely North Dakota State represented his program very well on national television.
That was a big win for them.
It was a win, even though they lost. Well, I agree with that.
They got paid a lot of money, too.
They got
didn't
paid.
They make $1.5 million for that game?
Yes.
Think about that.
It's going to help fund the program.
Yes.
They have a proud tradition. They're going to be contenders in the FCS, and that is a great opportunity they took advantage of. But back to Colorado, Deion's chirping after the game about, a lot of you wanted to come see us lose. A lot of you wanted to... Relax, man. Come on, Prime. Cool. Be cool.
I mean, the thing is, like, once they start to lose, and they'll lose a few games...
They're going
to
lose.
Then no one will... It'll be like last year, where... Wow, look at this story. This is so dynamic. This, what happened to those guys again? That was last year.
They were the most publicized 4-8 team in America.
It was like the world was flat, and they just sailed right off the edge. That's what it felt like last year. Seriously, they just disappeared.
Rocky Mountain low.
Yeah, and the same thing could happen.
It could happen, although Travis Hunter, I know Shedeur Sanders is a very highly rated quarterback. Yes. I don't know that I was as impressed with him as I wanted to be in the opener. I think we have to wait and see
where
that's headed. He's a good player, but Travis Hunter
is going to make more money than DJ Moore in like 2 years.
I think he's going to be a better defensive back. I think he could be a better DB. In the NFL.
Then wide receiver?
Yeah. I think those are harder to find. I think it's a good debate, though, because you hear a lot of scouts that have talked about this. They've written about this in the Colorado media when they're allowed to write about this.
They're allowed to write. They just can't ask questions.
He's not going to be a two-way player in the NFL. I don't think
I don't think so
feasible.
Either. It's very difficult to do that. Although, you know, his skill set is so good that – you know, you're going to be tempted to try to get the ball in his hands in different fashion.
I think that's a good point. Colorado held on. They came back, and they win. So they're 1-0. Travis Hunter has a good national televised showing, so he's probably going to be in a lot of Heisman conversations. Around the rest of college football, Illinois rallied around your doubts, and they shut out Eastern Illinois 31-0.
Whose doubts?
Yours.
I was not the one doubting them. I was accused of not having any.
What was that score? 45-0. Excuse me, 45-0.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've never doubted.
Minnesota takes one on the chin.
Yeah, that
rode
was
the boat, ran aground. Not good. Man, 19-17 losers to North Carolina.
That's not good just because North Carolina's not a rated team and the Big Ten's really tough this year.
The Big Ten is like
the Big
misnamed
Ten.
And it doesn't really represent exactly what you're talking about. It's so deep.
The Big Ten is so big that they could get 10 teams in the playoff.
It's the Big Ten.
There's 18 of them. Maybe they get
they're going to get a lot of teams in the playoffs.
Six or seven.
Best team in the Big Ten is?
Ohio State.
I think Oregon.
Okay.
They're the trendy pick.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're nothing.
I don't really have a lot of faith in your guy, Ryan Day.
Yeah, you want him fired too?
I don't know if I want him fired. I do think he's facing a lot of pressure.
No accountability. Mully hopes he has a good year so he can keep his job.
You're referring to the text line, not me. The texter referred to you as that way.
You questioned if I was doubting Illinois, when in reality, I said, no, nothing bad will happen in Illinois.
Well, they look like they're off to a very good start. Yeah. Although Eastern Illinois is not a good challenge. But a lot of college football stuff.
It's the opening weekend. It's not like you go down to College Station.
Wisconsin opens tonight.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's Notre Dame tomorrow night.
Oh, that's not
That's the game of the weekend.
Friend of mine, I was talking to him, where he's like, hey, about Notre Dame, if they lose, do they have to win out then to get in the playoff? I was like, no, the playoff opens up a lot of different things. But you know what? They can't win a conference, so they probably, if they really want to ensure, they've got some tough games. You just don't want to misstep in your first game.
The point of Notre Dame, though, tomorrow, a lot of people have referenced, and it's a good one, if they win this game, their schedule is very conducive for them to
make a run,
make a good run. And this is the opportunity that they need to take advantage of, even with an inexperienced line on the road, even with the new quarterback and Riley Leonard playing with this team for the first time.
Yeah, and that combination has to scare you.
A little bit.
Just say a new line, limited number of starts, new quarterback, limited time with team, even though he's an accomplished player.
But let's look at the big picture. College football, these are the kind of realities most programs are facing now in the age of the portal.
That's exactly correct.
You're bringing in a new quarterback almost every season for a lot of these contenders, and they're mixing and matching with guys on their offensive line who are either transfers or new players.
All except Clemson. And they're going to prove that the old way is the best way. And they're
they have the Lord
Georgia
on their side.
Oh, no, wait, no.
They have God on their side.
I am so anxious to see them lose tomorrow. I really hope I'm not let down. I don't know what it is about Dabo Swinney. I apologize in advance.
Well, I do.
I hear he's a great guy.
There's a lot of self-righteousness there.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that turns off a lot of people.
Yeah, that'd be nice to see the backhand of God give him a little bit of a lesson in humility.
He's got to adapt and adjust. They just haven't for reason.
He's got to go visit the Grand Canyon and stare in awe at the greatness of nature compared to him.
Well, this is not the week to be staring at the Grand Canyon. You might get overwhelmed by a deluge. You see how the flood's there?
It's good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Good stuff. It's scary.
Nature is
It's nature.
Stuff. That's what I'm saying.
Incurring its wrath. Mother Nature's angry in Arizona.
Let's go on a canoe trip.
Mother Nature's angry this week in general. She rained on Garrett Crochet's parade here.
Mother Nature is clearly biting back, Mr. David, for all the destruction of her planet.
I get it. I understand her point of view.
Humanity is cancer to the planet Earth.
I definitely see why she...
Why you gotta
she's
bring
got
that
a point.
Up.
Mother Nature has a point.
Mother Nature, you can't mess with nature. Because if you do mess with nature, that's part of nature too.
Is that a poem?
It's a song.
It's a song. Yeah. Songs really are poems.
Oh, look at you.
Songs are poetry.
You are a poet.
Well, I think when you look at a lot of the best songwriters, I've referred to country music as some of the best poetry you're ever going to find. Just because the stories that
I got drunk,
they tell.
Mom got out of prison.
Not quite like that. Taylor Swift is as much poet as she is songwriter. And she's still going to help the Cubs win this weekend.
How about that? The Taylor candle lives.
I like that. I think people are scoffing at that because it says more about their problems with Taylor Swift than anything.
Who would possibly have a problem
with
Taylor
gosh.
Swift? What is wrong with you? Go watch that Eras Tour concert and you know, track her plane for a while. Oh, no, don't do that. But do watch her perform. She is just out there giving it her all, for God's sake.
Well,
I know
it's
expensive.
You don't have to convince me.
We got a big, big, big game tonight. We've got our guy, Brandon Fryer, is prepared for it. He's turning it into politics. I don't understand
why. I thought that Brandon, of all people, would understand that this is not the show to talk politics or to go there, and yet his T-shirt is promoting
his T-shirt.
A certain ticket for 2024.
He's got the ticket. It's Clark and Reese. He's got a political T-shirt. I hope you're watching on Twitch because it says Clark and Reese 24, and it's really fun because I don't know that they're on the same ticket, but they are running for Rookie of the Year.
They are running for Rookie of the Year. Yeah. The Sky struggling 1-4 since the break. The Fever not struggling, 4-1 since the break. Caitlin Clark looks like she took advantage of her rest, and she has been
Fever on fire.
She has been on fire. She has been as good as any player in the league.
She's taking names.
She looks like she's playing for Iowa again. She's taking step back threes.
She's good
hitting her teammates when they're open, assists and shots and all the things. They're in town. It's an expensive ticket, and Brandon is all ready to go.
Yeah, are you going?
No, I'm not going. It's too expensive. I can't afford it.
You sold your tickets?
I wish. If I sold my tickets, I could have been on a nice trip.
Going. You're going.
I am. This is a birthday present for me.
You're kidding. So when did you get this gift?
In May.
What foresight?
Well, yeah, he is from Iowa.
I know.
But my dad was, there was a gift for my dad, and he knows me well.
Oh, wow.
I have not seen Caitlin Clark play in person since her freshman year.
So, Alex,
so it's been a while.
You live in Chicago. You're going to a Sky game at Wintrust Arena. You also have, Iowa people kind of like.
Do you have an Iowa 22 jersey?
Yeah. I do not. I don't have a jersey. One of the guys I'm going with, I went to Iowa with, and I invited him earlier in the week. He's like, you think I can get a 22 jersey in time? Like, I doubt it.
I doubt it. What do you want to happen tonight then, Mr. Conflicted Interests?
Rooting for the Sky. I'm from Chicago.
Look at him.
Come on.
Lying to yourself.
Come on.
I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe that for a minute.
Why did you invite a friend instead of selling his ticket?
Yeah, I probably should have sold it.
$2,000.
Not enough foresight, apparently.
You call up your buddy. Hey, what are you doing on Friday? Why don't we go to the game? It's only going to cost you $2,000.
I wonder how many people there tonight will be. Maybe this is a dumb question. There are a lot of Sky fans in Chicago.
Yes, tons of Sky fans. They show up every time.
There will be a lot of 22 jerseys and jerseys, though.
They won't outnumber Sky fans, though. Caitlin Clark fans won't outnumber Sky fans tonight, will they?
I was at the store, and I saw T-shirts on sale, Caitlin Clark for the Fever. And I thought, wow, that's extraordinary that there's no Angel Reese T-shirts for sale.
Well, then you're saying that I might be right. There might be more Caitlin Clark fans tonight than Sky fans.
I think it's kind of a problem for the WNBA because they weren't happy that she had so many fans when she came in.
That's and ridiculous. Think about what you just said. Yes,
there was
but
a
it's
certain
ridiculous.
Amount of jealousy, and
that's the absurdity
amount,
of it.
But she is the Taylor Swift of the WNBA, whether anyone likes it or not.
Yes, you're right.
So, maybe Kanye shows up. He's Chicago guy made good and tells Caitlin Clark, I'm going to let you finish. But first, Beyonce's video was bad. Like, there's going to be something like that happening.
I hope not. I if she gets booed, it will be a product of Sky fans outnumbering Caitlin Clark fans.
She's not getting booed. I'd be shocked if she gets booed.
She's worth the price of admission. She's
then you
the
guys
Steph
are making
Curry.
My point.
Yeah, it's gonna. I agree. It's gonna be more Caitlin Clark fans, I believe, especially with the Labor Day weekend. It's Friday night game, extra time. Yeah,
that's why people are paying $2,000 a ticket for courtside seats. Right. That's why Alex paid $2,000 for his.
Definitely not courtside.
Thank God his father's wealthy. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hey, well, look, it's like $150 bucks to get in. It's not a ton, but
it's a lot of money for a WNBA.
Guys, but it's $4 to get into a Sox game. That's a lot of money to get into the Sky play.
You could take
a family of four to a Sox game for $20.
20 of your buddies.
How much are hot dogs at Sox games? I mean, I'm just wondering how cheaply you could get in and out of there this weekend. The Mets are in town. Probably $50.
Yeah, I think you end up paying prices. I mean, I don't think it's as bad.
Have they reduced the price for the campfire milkshake?
I don't know, but if one hasn't had one, it's meant to be phenomenal. I haven't had one. Mm. Have you had one?
No, I have not.
Brandon, you've had one?
I have not.
Oh my God!
It's out there a couple weeks ago.
I haven't had one, but I was doing a Cubs game. I was on the board, and Zach Zaidman told me worth the price.
Yeah, really? Zach,
because it's outstanding.
Zach and Coombe had one when the Cubs were out there a few weeks ago. Yeah, yeah. They were bragging about
it. Since you can only have one because
so
you're going to feel, you're going to feel a little sick after, but it's worth it.
And wow. Zach eats very healthfully. He's very, he's a picture of health.
He's the picture of.
We're talking to Coombe today, by the way, 8 o'clock. Get the latest on the Cubs. Have they named a starter?
Yeah.
It's TBD.
For today?
Yeah.
I believe it is Shota.
Okay,
right?
That's what I thought. Did they make
Shota
that official?
Imanaga.
Because
I don't know if it's official, but he's starting.
Okay, I'm looking at I think you're right because Shota, there was some talk about moving him to Saturday, but he's tonight, Shota Imanaga versus Jake Irvin.
Jake Irvin, young guy they brought up who started the season terribly and now has come around and been very good of late.
Shota goes tonight, Javier Assad goes tomorrow, and Jamo goes Sunday, and the Cubs need a sweep. They need to keep this going.
They should trade Jamo.
No,
that was an old story.
Wrong
it wasn't
month.
True. Yeah.
You're a month late there.
That's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
Yes.
Cubs could have a very good weekend, though. So the Cubs.
Well, they need to. They need to have a good weekend. Washington. Let's be honest.
Take care of business. Yep. The Sox at home against the Mets. The Sky hosting the Fever tonight in probably the biggest event in town over the weekend. And we've got college football. And we haven't even mentioned the Bears yet. The Bears are off this weekend, but a lot of conversation about what's ahead and what's been said and how exciting things are right now.
And there is, a texter points out, Frank Thomas bobblehead tomorrow at U.S. Comiscular and the sell.
That's a reason to go.
The rate, the U.S. guaranteed Comiscular rate field.
That's
probably the best giveaway left, right?
That's a bobblehead worth having. I don't know what else they have.
They're probably, I mean, if I were them, I'd give away a decoy bobblehead.
Did you see those guys talking about that?
That was pretty
Scotty
funny.
Pods did not like decoy throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah.
And showed him Shohei Ohtani, his dog. Even his dog is better than everyone else's dog.
This is one of the game's greatest players that we've ever seen. I can just think back in my days as back-to-back MVP. If I had my bobblehead day and I come to the ballpark with my dog and sit on the mound and let him run the pitch to me in front of the whole entire crowd and a winning ball club along the way, guess what? I would have got drilled right in the forearm the next pitch. For some reason, he goes out and hit a home run in the first at-bat after all of this. The game is changing. The game has become very nice. I'm telling you. That would have never happened in the 90s. I'm telling you right now, that would have never happened in the 90s. I don't know what you think, Scotty Pods, but the game is getting extremely nice. What do you think?
I didn't like it, Frank. I didn't like it. You said it. I'm going to leave it right there. Can we get a human to throw the first pitch out?
I'm just saying.
I want a human arm out there.
That is beautiful.
Those guys were in rare form. That was really good stuff. That laugh, of course, was Layla's.
Yes.
She did the pre and post game. Saw her yesterday at NBC Sports Chicago. Scotty Pods and Frank had no time for Decoy, the dog.
Oh, God. So fun. Oh, Decoy, the dog. I thought it was the translator's name. See what I did there?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, you kind of diverted my attention.
It was a little joke there.
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
And we have to explain them. They're really good.
Yeah, there you go. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago. I got the pick six. That's going to tear it all up. All the stories of the day. Mully.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
The Pick 6 is sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Visit feelgreatillinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or weight loss options. Guys, even though the roster remains in a state of flux, do you consider the Bears roster as it stands today a playoff roster?
Wow, that is a very difficult question to answer. I'm going to say I believe their roster is good enough to make the playoffs. I believe their schedule is easy enough to make the playoffs. I do worry about their standings within the division. And I think the main problem is that the division is going to, it feels as if the first two spots into the playoffs are already booked. But yes, I would say, I feel like the Bears do have a playoff roster. I feel like in the right circumstances, they'll get in.
I'm looking at this one, too. Right now, I say they're in contention. They can probably battle for that last playoff spot. I mean, they're in the best division to me in the NFC with the NFC North. So the tough one is going to be going against teams like maybe Dallas would be one. I got one team probably coming out the NFC West for that wild card spot, and then two maybe from the NFC North, and the Bears could be that one. So right now, I would say, yes, this team is a playoff roster.
I think it's very interesting to consider that when you look at the league, all 32 teams, I'm not sure that there are more than 10 teams that you look at that say definitively
right,
they have a better roster than the Bears do in terms of talent and if everybody maxes out. And that's the way you look at rosters in late August, early September, this time of year. In that context, kind of with that criteria, if the Bears have one of the top 12 rosters or so, 12 to 14 rosters conservatively, this is a playoff roster. This is a playoff roster because you look at what you need. Do you have a dominant, do you have a blue player at tackle? Yeah. I think you could say potentially Darnell Wright is that guy. Do you have a quarterback who's a franchise quarterback? Yeah, you do. Big time wide receiver, big time edge rusher, shut down cornerback, difference maker at linebacker. They've got all the things. They've got all the necessary ingredients. When you talk about a roster, you're not necessarily talking about the head coach. And that may be where people start to wonder, because it's time for Matt Eberflus to start affecting Sundays more than he has. But just the basic premise of this question, can you look at the Bears 1 through 53 and say you see a playoff team?
Well,
you can.
But David, don't you think that when you look at them, you don't need to look at the league. You need to look at the NFC. And if you look at them within the confines of the NFC, there are really good teams throughout football. But, you know, the Chiefs stand alone. When you start looking at the NFC, you're like, okay, the Niners, the Lions, the Eagles. You start thinking of the teams they're behind. Are they one of the top? Where would you put them?
Well,
are they the seventh best team in the NFC? If so, that's pretty good.
I agree with that. I think that you can look at it, you can zoom out, and you can look at the rest of the league just for your own edification or whatever.
Right.
But when you look at the reality of what it would take to get into the playoffs compared to the other NFC teams relative to the Cowboys and the Packers and the Lions and the 49ers, those are four teams that probably have better rosters than the Bears overall. Then you start talking about the Rams, and then you start talking about the Eagles, and you're like, well, the Bears aren't really that different from them. So, yeah, they have one of the top six or so rosters in the NFC. That means they're a playoff team. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
We talked about how Bears wide receiver DJ Moore's contract extension seemed like a comparative bargain after CeeDee Lamb signed a four-year, $136 million deal with Dallas. Does that hold up even more given the contract that Brandon Ayuk received from San Francisco, a four-year, $120 million deal?
Great question. I look at the Ayuk and the CeeDee Lamb contracts as being very different to me. I think the CeeDee Lamb, I would qualify that and justify, rationalize that as the price of playing poker. You want a guy that's hugely productive and a difference maker, and CeeDee Lamb is the guy that
their
really...
Their best guy.
He had leverage. He was their best guy. They had to have him to make any sort of Super Bowl aspiration serious. So, yeah, that in that context, you like the way the Bears paid for their franchise wide receiver versus what the Cowboys had to pay for theirs. I don't get the Ayuk thing because I understand why they value his contribution. But on that team, I don't know that he's worth what they're paying. And I don't think that I would have done necessarily what John Lynch did in terms of buckling. And I think that Ayuk wins this one because they have other weapons. They have other options. And they have an infrastructure that could have absorbed the loss of Brandon Ayuk. That's my football opinion. And they could have traded him and benefited from the haul in return. So Ayuk, to me, total overpay. CeeDee Lamb, the price of doing business. And the Bears, Ryan Poles, once again, out in front, making the right decision and looking ahead and really taking care and protecting the Bears' assets and protecting the salary cap.
Like, honestly, golf clap for Ryan Poles. I mean, the way he turned this team around from...
Thanks, Dustin.
Right, I know. I'm wishing for Dustin to be here.
Yeah.
What he did with this deal with DJ Moore compared to what the other wide receivers are getting in the NFL, I mean, tremendous job. To switch from what we had with Ryan Pace when we was pretty much up against the cap with players and not that good and didn't have no draft picks, no future, and to flip this around to having draft capital, to have a quarterback now and a future, and we can still build off that on a rookie deal, and now we could just keep adding and adding and adding. You got to love it overall. But to go back to DJ Moore, I think DJ Moore, to me, looking at his deal, and then Brandon Ayuk, I would take DJ Moore over Brandon Ayuk. That's just me overall. I think Brandon Ayuk is a little bit. I don't see it. Yeah. I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know if I would pay him that much compared to what DJ Moore had. I'm just saying. So that just gives more kudos to Ryan Poles overall. I love this deal. I mean, and then CD Lamb one. I mean, C.D. Lamb is a really good player, but like I said, I would take D.J. Moore, too, and I just great overall by Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I think that what's really interesting is that the contract for D.J. Moore doesn't really kick in. You know, you complete this deal, and then it starts in a couple of years. Like, I believe that Ayuk becomes the fifth highest-paid receiver in the league, and when you start looking at, you know, what's Ja'Marr Chase going to get? Ja'Marr Chase still has 2 years left on his rookie deal, but he's the guy that stirs the drink. But unfortunately, the Bengals are not the team that pays for its drinks. So it is really kind of a dilemma for him.
That's quite a tab.
He is definitely going to get paid, and he is going to be one of the highest paid receivers in the league. I would wonder, by the time that this contract really kicks in for DJ Moore, if he is going to be one of the most underpaid receivers. Like, is he even going to be in the top 10? Is he even going to be in the top 20, given the number of receivers that are headed for big paydays here? And certainly we've seen a massive amount of money already go out. So it's just kind of interesting. It's just kind of interesting to look at it through that prism of the value of the position going up. And that's the danger when you're signing a long-term contract before you are a free agent. Now, the value is you get paid. You get that guaranteed money immediately, and you have your future secure, and you know where you're going to be.
The hidden value of what the Bears did with DJ Moore is that it did reflect maybe the value of the position, but I don't think it really reflected the value of the player who's in that position for the Bears, meaning that they knew they were going to have to pay. They knew that was going to be a sizable investment because that's how you have to structure your salary cap. But he's actually better and will likely outperform the terms of the deal.
Which is phenomenal.
Which makes it a great deal for him.
It a great deal for him and
security,
for
security, and great for the Bears.
I also wonder if Brandon Ayuk, if they were willing to let him play out this season because they were going for it this year and they thought, okay, let him play out the season and it doesn't matter because we're going to win a title if we lose him. But they came to the conclusion that now he's not, like, whatever was going on, you know, bad news for Justin Fields. You don't get your receiver. We're keeping the guy. And so they give him the money. What the hell is going on with Trent Williams? Does anybody have any idea?
I don't know.
He has 3 years left on his contract.
I don't know what he's doing.
And he's out of guaranteed money. So he's 36 years old, and I don't know what you do. Do you just throw him a $10 million check or something to get him to report? I don't know what you do.
Can I ask you guys one question?
Yeah, it's our 8 o'clock guest, Ron Coomer. How many games will the Cubs win during this weekend series against the Nationals? How likely is it that PCA continues his recent heater?
Well, he's on a heater. There's no doubt about that. I honest to God think they win two of three, but I want them to sweep. I think they win the series. I don't think that's enough. I want to see them put together, you know, six in a row. Get the longest winning streak, light the candle, and off you go. I really believe they need to beat this team. Now, in fairness, the Nationals are, they've brought up young players and they're getting a lot out of them and they're playing better than they did earlier in the year. But PCA, what is it, the last 23 games, he's batting like 345 or something. He's been on fire, and he's been as important a guy in the lineup as they have. So if you can keep doing what they're doing, you know, the 8 and 9 spots in the lineup are suddenly producing quite a bit. They did during that Pittsburgh series. Now you're, that's the dream, right? To keep rolling over and rolling over. But they're going to need all hands on deck, because these young players are playing well for the Nationals. Not easy to win on the road. I think they need to sweep in order to increase the buzz and talk in playoffs, and do they have a shot? I think they'll get 2 or 3.
Well, my prediction is going to be PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. So a Cubs outfielder will be the biggest star in Chicago by the year 2028.
PCA keeps it going. He's going to keep it going. I think he's on fire, him and Miguel Amaya. And just, I know you guys talked about too, having him, I think Dustin was the one, about moving him up to the leadoff spot so you can get more bats. I like him right where he is right now because of the way he's hitting. Keep him right there. I love it overall. I think the streak continues. I want them to sweep.
Yep.
I think they're going to only get 2 games, because until they prove it to me in the Cubs, they're a tease. They give you these games. They give us this sweep. Now, the worst thing would be they lose this series. Or even if they win 2, it's like, okay, you sweep to me, now you're proving me something. And I want a sweep, so hopefully they can get that.
I think they should sweep. I want them to sweep. I fear that because the Nationals are playing pretty good brand of baseball, they're energized by their own prospect, Dylan Cruz, who homered the other night. This is a team that's trying to squeeze out something in September, which begins on Sunday, Craig Tember in Chicago. I think the Cubs win 2 out of 3. PCA, Brandon, I thought about this too. I have been one of those guys that long wanted to see PCA at the top of the order, and I think he better be there to begin opening day 2025 when they open in Japan. But I don't think it's time yet. I would leave him exactly where he is and have the AA battery clicking at the bottom, giving them some energy with Amaya and Crow Armstrong. So I guess that's BAA or ACA, whatever it is. But there's some sort of acronym there somewhere. But PCA at the bottom of the order will continue to wreak havoc. Amaya comes back, does what he's been doing, and the Cubs win 2 out of 3. And I think they win tonight on Shota Day. I'm glad they're pitching Shota tonight. I think they've been very careful with how they've handled him, and I think he's poised for a strong final month.
I'm disappointed none of us thought they'd sweep.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know what the answer is.
With tickets going for as much as $2,000, which would buy you exactly 500 White Sox tickets, what do you expect to happen when the Fever and the Sky meet tonight at Wintrust Arena? Who's the favorite to win WNBA Rookie of the Year?
I think that tonight, when you look at what the teams have done since the Olympic break, the Sky's struggling, 1-4. I'm not going to pretend to have watched a lot of their games, but they are struggling. The Fever, meanwhile, you see them on the highlights all the time because Caitlin Clark came back rejuvenated, re-energized, to break something she took advantage of. She went to vacation. She went to a Yankees game. She went wherever she went, and people flocked to follow, and they will be there tonight, largely because she is in town. And I think the Fever will beat the Sky, and I do think the Fever with Caitlin Clark, I think she is the odds-on favorite to become the WNBA Rookie of the Year. With due respect to what Angel Reese has accomplished, with the rookie rebounding records she's poised to set, she's a rebounding machine. She's a great addition to the Chicago sports landscape. But what Caitlin Clark has done not only has nothing to do with her college basketball legacy, but what she has done as a WNBA rookie, historic.
I think the Fever go out and win tonight's game and, you know, close out the season series up on the Sky. You said it, David. Since the All-Star or the Olympic break, they – the Sky have been struggling. I think they only won like maybe one or two games overall. They're still in that last spot for the playoff, but it's not looking good. While you're looking at the Fever, I mean, Caitlin Clark's been red hot, not just with her shooting.
Right.
I mean, with her passing ability, it's just been amazing. And I just think right now she's setting records, more to me WNBA records than what the double-double's doing, than what Angel Reese is doing, which makes me think why Caitlin Clark will be that. And then the Sky, they traded one of their good players already. They look like they're kind of just giving in, letting the young ones play. Cardoza, I haven't really seen much from her either as well, and it's kind of been disappointing. It's really just been Angel Reese, but no slight on Angel Reese. What she's been doing right now, she's been amazing. She's one of the reasons why I went to a Sky game, but it's Clark that's probably going to win Rookie of the Year, and they're probably going to win tonight in the Fever.
Yeah, here's the problem. I think that the Fever is going to win the game because they're the better team and they're playing better, and they opened up with a really tough schedule, and now, as you say, it seems like Caitlin Clark got a break and she's playing better than she has all season long, and she's really coming into her own as a point guard as much as, you know, her unbelievable
right.
shooting. So she's setting the rookie assists. She's already set the rookie assists record. She got a shot at the WNBA assists record. Angel Reese is going to, I think she only needs like 10 rebounds to set the rookie record in rebounds. She's going to do that. Angel Reese is a grinder. She works so hard, and it's amazing to watch her, and she gets everything she can out of every ounce of her talent, and it's great to have her in town. I did read Steph Noh's story in the Sporting News, and we've had him on as a guest about the NBA, and he broke down Angel Reese's shooting percentage, and it's basically on layups. She's converting at 43.8% from 5 feet and in. 5 feet of the basket, 43.8. Their league average is 59.6. So, like, I know that Dave Portnoy started tweeting out her bad shot at a three-pointer, and he tweeted out, she had 22 rebounds, I think, in the game he was at, and he tweeted out a sequence where she missed four layups and then got the rebound each time. So, I love what she's doing. I think she's an unbelievable grinder, but I don't think she should be the Rookie of the Year. I think that should go to Caitlin Clark despite her massive following.
Oh, my God, what a question. What a question.
All right, let's get to college football. Are you picking number 7 Notre Dame or Texas A&M on Saturday at Kyle Field in College Station, Texas? How many times will Notre Dame be flagged for a false start with a young, inexperienced offensive line? And what do you think of the over-under here? It's at 46, according to our friends at BetMGM.
You know, I saw a story that talked to Tommy Reese about going into College Station last year with Alabama. Apparently, and this is Alabama. Alabama jumped off sides, was whistled for 8 false starts. Alabama. That's because he says it's the loudest building that he's ever played in, that he's ever visited as a coach, that they're just going absolutely crazy all the time there. And it's really difficult to play. They got a new quarterback and they got a new offensive line, effectively. They got 6 collective starts among the 5 guys that will start, including a rookie left tackle. So a freshman left tackle. So I think that when you take all that into account, it's going to be a difficult place to play. I think Notre Dame is going to win, and I think they're going to cover the spread, but I think they're going to jump off sides 7 times.
Oh my gosh. 7 times? How are they going to win if they jump off sides 7 times?
Because they're going to make plays.
They got me. You were making sense until then.
I think 7.
7's hard to, I can't top that. I got 3, maybe, 2 or 3 times overall with the offensive line and
crazy.
With the lines. I got upset here. I'm not a huge Notre Dame fan. I'm sorry, David. Dustin. I think they're the most overhyped team every time. The Riley Leonard, that guy, he's good. He's a stud. But also, I think, too, that the head coach of Texas A&M, like, he knows Leonard. He has his number. He knows how he plays. He knows his weaknesses. So with that being said, I feel like they got a little edge. This is going to be tough. You're going down there and playing them. This doesn't look good. Upset alert. Upset alert. I'm calling it right now.
Okay, first of all, I am not a Notre Dame fan.
You talk about Notre Dame all the time.
I lived in South Bend for 11 years. I was a pebble in their shoe. I was a sports columnist at the South Bend Tribune. I'm not a Notre Dame fan.
He loves Notre Dame.
I like watching Notre Dame football. I grew up a Notre Dame football fan in the shadow of the dome 60 miles away in tiny North Jetson, Indiana, but I respect the program. I am not a fan of Notre Dame football as much as I am a keen observer. I'm objective. And objectively speaking, Mully, that's ridiculous that they're going to jump offside seven times.
And win.
Okay. I think that this offensive line is intriguing to me. Because you look at their left tackle, Anthony Knapp, I believe, is his name. He's a guy that came to campus in January, and they were thinking he was going to be a center because of his body type. He bulked up. They had an injury. They put him at left tackle, and here you go. College Station's your first start. Good luck, kid.
Somebody needs to scream, wake up, Knapp! Come on. Even if he's playing great.
I know. Knapp is an unfortunate name for an offensive tackle, or just for anybody who needs to pay attention. I think that Notre Dame goes into College Station objectively, and Riley Leonard looks the part as the senior quarterback who came from Duke and is a smart kid, very good arm, and they get it done. And Marcus Freeman on this national stage gives Notre Dame fans something to look forward to, and that is a run toward the playoffs.
That is the future three losses he's
planning.
That
is not going to be one of your three losses that you have penciled him into unfairly. This is a schedule conducive to winning. This is an opportunity they will take advantage of, and the Irish will be singing the alma mater proudly on Saturday night.
Go Irish!
I want to say this real quick before we get to the next one.
Oh, stop it!
No, it's not... Evan Thomas has said he banned me from Twitch because he's a big Notre Dame fan. Yeah. So, Evan, I love the Twitch people, but Evan, I'm sorry.
I hear Notre Dame football more than any other thing.
Sorry, that overrated. Four losses this season.
And Evan, okay, let's be real here. Brandon controls the operation. Okay, so those threats are empty.
Doesn't affect me at all.
Okay.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Let's talk some White Sox, shall we?
God, no.
With The Athletic reporting, the Cardinals plan on putting Tommy Pham on waivers should the White Sox claim him, given how well he seems to spark the team. It's all about the future now. Should they bring players into a losing situation, or should they throw their fans a bone?
If they throw their fans a bone, there'd be like six of them clamoring for it, because that's about all that would be there chasing it. No, no, no. The Cardinals... if they're putting Tommy Pham on waivers, they're conceding, they're giving up. They traded for him. They gave up next to nothing for him, right? This is not going to be something that it matters on the South Side. You don't want to do that. Give your bats to Oscar Colas. Whoever it is, but not Tommy Pham. Don't bring him back. By the way, Colson Montgomery, the prospect who we thought would be here by now but is delayed because he's not hitting at AAA Charlotte,
yep,
will be on Inside the Clubhouse 10:30 Saturday morning.
Are you going to ask him?
I'm going to ask him.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. The right away, too, when Alex said, let's talk some White Sox. And then,
yeah, you cringed.
No. No, I don't want to see Tommy Pham back with the White Sox. I saw that. Okay, it was nice. I'm over it. Like, I want to see the young guys play. I want to see what the future holds, because now we have, maybe another five-year window. So I want to see what these young guys, I want to see the development. I don't want to see, kind of the end of the career type guys, veteran guys right now on this team, especially at this point. No, I want to see the future. I want to see what's going to happen next season. As a White Sox fan, this is ridiculous. This is not going to make me come to the games because Tommy Pham is on the team, okay? Like, we just talked about it. It was $4 tickets, and we still was like, I don't know if we want to go. like the team is that bad. So with that being said, no, I don't want to see Tommy Pham at all on this team. I'm good on that. Let the young guys play. I want to see something for the future.
Yeah, I'm a big Tommy Pham guy. I really love him, and I think they should sign him and have some kind of promotion where you lead various, you know, former managers, people in the management, and just have Tommy slap them at second base. You just lead people out, and he just
that could follows be good. Them. That's a good promotion. So it might have fantasy football night.
There you go,
Tommy Pham.
That's right.
Lead your draft.
I love Tommy Pham. I, honest to God, love the guy. And one of the things I love about him is just how competitive he is. He is really competitive, and you got to love that in a guy. So, listen, of course you shouldn't sign him. Of course you should bring up whatever young players you want to ruin. Go ahead, get to it. All right, we've got the see, it's not happy talk when we talk White Sox. We've got the extra point next, and it's a good one. It is Mully and Haw on the Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We know the Bears have the fourth easiest schedule based on last year's record. But what did you make of Mike Sando of The Athletic's schedule ranking based on QBs they faced from this tier rankings? They faced the second easiest collection of opposing starters with just seven games against second tier quarterbacks and none in the top group.
Well, that's how you define whether the schedule is difficult or not, really. And last year, I think a little unfairly, but not necessarily inaccurately, there were questions that lingered about how good the Bears defense really was based on the inexperience or the bad quarterbacks that they played and dominated. So they didn't beat necessarily the Mahomes and Burrows and Josh Allens of the league. They aren't playing any tier ones this year, and thank goodness. You don't have to apologize for your schedule ever. Never, ever, ever, ever. Whether it's the Bears season, a college football team, the NBA, whatever the sport, whoever it is, never apologize for the schedule. The Bears don't have to offer apologies. They should look at this as an invitation to intimidate. This is what they should do. This is who they are. This is what their defense does. Yes, take advantage of the situation. Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4, all comers, take them on, defense. This is what this season will become. The Bears' defense becomes the strength. The offense scores touchdowns instead of field goals, and everybody's laughing because they're 10-7. That's what you want to happen, and that's how you take advantage of the second easiest collection of opposing starters.
You took my record, 10-7. That's what I had them going this season. I mean, this is exactly what you want overall looking at this. They make these schedules all the time like this. So with that being said, you want to take advantage of this. This is why we're asking the question of why this team can probably get into the playoffs is because of the reason like that, looking at their schedule. That's why I have them here at 10-6. And really, you want to take advantage of that. The defense needs to step up big time on that one. Hopefully, the defensive line can hold up. Their strength is their secondary, so you love that. If the offensive line can hold up and Caleb Williams can be what Caleb Williams is supposed to be, this franchise and face of the league in the future, then yes, we should take advantage of this. And you got to love it, that the fact that the schedule comes like this. And then it might get harder next year. So it just is what it is. Whatever the schedule is put in front of you, you face and you challenge it, and you got to achieve and accomplish it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the reality is that they don't face Mahomes or Burrow or Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson. Thank God. Thank God. Who wants to face those guys? And if they do face them, they'll face them in the Super Bowl. You know, it'd be great to play Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Wouldn't it be great to see Joe Burrow play in the Bears in the Super Bowl? I'd be all over it.
Wouldn't it be great if they had the disadvantage at quarterback in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. If Aaron Rodgers owns them. How are they going to beat them? They're going to beat them in the bloody Super Bowl. That's how. So, I mean, that would be awesome. I don't think anyone complains. And I think you're absolutely right. This relates to the earlier question. This relates to the question of whether or not the Bears are a playoff team. Part of it is that they have the fourth easiest schedule in the league, and they face the second best schedule in terms of the quarterbacks they face. Now, they face a pretty good quarterback on opening day, so it would be really nice to go out and set a tone and be really good and show C.J. Stroud who's boss. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Just to begin a really good season by winning some games like that. And you know, they are going to play some good quarterbacks, but they're not going to play all the great ones. And that's fantastic. That's a good thing. And hopefully the defense dominates. Hopefully they gain all sorts of momentum and confidence by virtue of beating up on bad players, if that's what happens. These quarterback ratings, it's all nonsense. And schedule stuff is nonsense because it depends on what they look like when you play them. Who's there when you play them.
Who's
it
there?
It depends on how you are physically
who's
when
healthy.
You play them. That's it.
How many teams out there,
but
though,
it's nice.
Look at the Bears, and how would they look at the Bears? Because according to this measurement, this kind of ranking system, Caleb Williams wouldn't register as somebody that an opposing team would feel threatened by. It would qualify as maybe a quote-unquote easy game. Do you think there's any team on the schedule that looks at the Bears and Caleb Williams at quarterback as an easy challenge?
You see, it goes right back to the first question. Do they have a playoff roster? And I think the depth of the talent on their team is such that I don't think they look like an easy mark to anybody. And I, quite frankly, I don't know what they're going to be. I think teams look at them and think, man, they could be pretty good. Well, everyone in the league is watching this thing, the Hard Knocks. The vibe is good. There's a really good vibe, and there's a feeling that the Bears are getting better, and they've got some really good talent on the team. You know, they've improved even from DJ Moore and Montez Sweat, which is what they had by the end of last year. It's a team on the come.
I think that's true. Hard Knocks helps. It also helps when you have a general manager who articulates the plan as well as Ryan Poles did the other day, and when he has made some decisions that have been impactful, but more importantly, he has avoided. Sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make, and I think that we look at what he has done and what he has avoided doing, put them in a position where they can feel like they entered the season with a playoff roster.
I think we should argue about that a little bit. I think there's two things. One, if you had Matthew Judon on this team, mm-hmm. I think you'd look better than you do right now. You would. On paper, you would look like you had answered like a huge question. I don't know what you were going to do with the future and how you were going to be able to sign him, whatever.
Okay.
And he still hasn't signed. But I think he's a top-notch talent, and I think their defense is going to be really good. But I think that they would be intimidating if they added a guy like that.
When we come back, I'll tell you the two decisions that Ryan Poles didn't make, the two moves that he avoided making that I think have made a big difference and why there's confidence that is justified.
Does coaching
count? Yes, coaching counts. Coaching always counts.
I think if you like Ryan Poles, and I think everyone right now likes Ryan Poles, I think that keeping Eberflus was the right move because it kept him in power. I wonder what we'd be talking about right now if we felt there was a power struggle between the head coach and the general manager. So we'll get into that next. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
proud of the process that we've set up. It's not just about acquiring the best talent, it's about acquiring the right talent. And I think that's what you see in this building. I think it's special. Like the group of guys, it's really special. I know I've talked a lot about that, but even when you go through cutdown days and you're letting guys go and they're like, man, I just want to be here. Like I can feel it. I want to be a part of this thing. So it's not like I always look at it and I'm excited about it, but when you hear from people inside the building, but also outside, it kind of makes you feel really good about the progress that you've made. But a lot of hard work, a lot of time in developing the process so that it's sustainable.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of the general manager, Ryan Poles, the architect of the team.
Right.
And, we mentioned that there were two things that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I think when you talk about decisions and trades and contract signings and extensions and all those things, and those are proactive moves. You go out and you sign DJ Moore and you trade for Keenan Allen and you do all of these things that put yourself in a better position roster-wise. You trade for Montez Sweat, you extend his contract. Sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make. Two in mind come to mind for me when you talk about this season. I think the Bears are close, right? We talk about the playoff roster. I don't think they're Super Bowl contenders. I think they're playoff contenders. There's a big difference there when you're shaping your roster. I think Matthew Judon was tempting. Matthew Judon had to be something, as we saw in Hard Knocks, they thought they were going to cross the goal line, right? Cross the finish line.
Yep.
Get that done. It would have been expensive, Mully. I don't know if they could have gotten him more than just this season. You give up draft capital for a guy that at 32 may or may not be impactful. If you're ready to win a Super Bowl, go after him. Yeah. Do it now.
Yeah. But they're not ready to win the Super
Bowl. They're not ready to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But it was a third-round pick. It wasn't a first-round pick.
But third-round picks are valuable, and I think we would have criticized it the next morning because you look at Austin Booker, you look at the trade they made for Taylor with the Seahawks. They have bodies. They have people that are capable of rushing the passer, not at Matthew Judon's level, but I think avoiding that decision will end up aging well and reflecting well on Ryan Poles' discipline. The second one and the bigger one that you alluded to was back in January, he easily could have justified firing Matt Eberflus, going after Jim Harbaugh. Heck, we encouraged him to do so, I think. There were other coaches out there that were qualified with experience. Mike Vrabel comes to mind. Other guys who would do the job and maybe change the course of this season. I think avoiding that decision, that knee-jerk reaction, was a good one, and it will end up being consistent with other decisions. Ryan Poles is an organization builder. The strength of this organization right now, or one of them, you could point to is the alignment and the alliance between the head coach and the general manager.
Sure.
You need that to win. And if you're thinking that in 2 years you're going to be a Super Bowl contender, maybe three, this year you can flirt with a playoff spot, then you want to maintain continuity. If you believe in your coach when others don't, then you want to lean into that. And so those two decisions, those two moves that Ryan Poles didn't make, I think are going to end up helping the Bears this year win and be a type of organization that I think is headed in the right direction.
We have breaking news, David, and it's sad news. Breaking news on The Score is presented by BetQL. Bet smarter with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. The Columbus Blue Jackets star hockey player Johnny Gaudreau and his brother died yesterday in a bicycle accident.
The Columbus Post-Dispatch is reporting that it was a bike accident in New Jersey near their home around 8 o'clock last night.
They said that his sister is getting married, so they were going to be groomsmen in the wedding, and instead, I mean, mother of God, I don't know, you know, you can't imagine the whole family what that is like to lose two members of your family the night before. Your
unspeakable tragedy.
That's awful.
To hit a family.
Awful
for them. Huge loss for the game of hockey, the sport itself. Gary Bettman, I believe, issued a statement this morning. Johnny Hockey, he was exciting. He was 31 years old. He was definitely somebody who changed a lot of the way we watched hockey. He was with Calgary for a long time. Exciting player, the Hobey Baker Award winner from Boston College. Yeah. Somebody who just played with a joy and a flair that the hockey really needed, and it's just unbelievable.
And he leaves two children as well.
Great family,
yeah.
Young family, and good it kid. Just oh, that's, awful that's story tough stuff to break across the social media this morning, and then see it confirmed by, because it was out there a little bit, but yes. I think a lot of these unconfirmed reports, you never know. And the Columbus Post-Dispatch confirmed it. The Columbus Blue Jackets issued a statement, and I think we also have heard from the commissioner. So Johnny Gaudreau, dead at the age of 31 in a bike accident with his brother last night, also claimed his brother's life as well.
Brother Matthew. All right, we're going to get to our guy Brad Biggs. Biggs time is next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.